You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Knox foul from behind, count it, and one. As Tristan pumps his fist.
Little key. What he does is contagious. Like.
Hardaway to Trier. Trier drops down. Alonzo Trier. Baker launches a three-hander across the lane to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcito, a.k.a. Spaghetti Curdy. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 361. Woo-wee! On today's show, I'm joined by Ashwin Ramnath of Posting and Toasting, and we're talking a lot about Frank on this one. What's going on with Frank? Schwinn has a lot of thoughts about his development so far this season, and then we're going to talk about Fizdale and what we like out of him, what we are maybe questioning a bit. Overall, I think we're pretty happy with him, though. We're going to talk about things that we've seen from a coaching perspective, because he's the coach, right? That makes sense. And we're going to close out by talking about a little bit of this Jimmy Butler trade saga and what's going on. Just a warning, we recorded this episode yesterday because I'm currently, if you're listening to this, I'm currently on vacation, so to speak. I'm in Mexico for a very good friend's wedding. You know, hopefully I'm having fun. Wish me luck navigating Mexico. I don't know. It's a weird thing to say. Just want to let you know, there might be like one or two things that are slightly out of date. We recorded this yesterday. I don't think so, though. All of these shows are evergreen, right? And this one is no exception. So without any further ado, let's just start the show, right? Let's start the show. Hit it, Mark.
Yes.
So, Schwinn, people in NBA circles are saying that you have officially turned on our beautiful, sweet baby Frank. Like, your name's Sal from Staten Island. No offense to, you know, guys.
First time, long time.
No offense to guys named Sal from Staten Island, who I'm told make up 27% of our demographic. But is it true?
Isn't that 27% of your family, too?
There's 100% of my family. And about 49% of me. I'm, like, my one saving grace is that I'm not more than 50% Sal from Staten Island. I am fucking James from Valley Stream, though. So that's pretty...
That's awesome.
At least I'm not Vinny from Valley Stream. That would be...
Vinny from Valley Stream here.
I am a South Shore piece of trash through and through. But let's talk about Frank. Yeah, I heard you hate him now. Is there any truth to these rumors?
I loathe Frank. It's actually really funny because I think now in our Slack, there's this idea that I'm like turning on Frank, but then I'll say like the same exact thing on Twitter and people will be like, why do you keep giving this kid a pass?
My favorite take right now is like, I don't get why Frank just keeps getting a pass from everyone. I'm Do you have your finger on the pulse of everyone? Because maybe I'm giving him a pass, but 90% of the basketball world is not giving him a pass, I would say.
Well, like, first of all, I just want to say one thing. Like, I think it says something that Frank is second on the team in minutes. I think it says something that he has never benched Frank. Like, he kind of benched him against the Celtics, but I don't really know if he benched him as much as, like he didn't bench him because he was playing bad. It's just that the guys that came in had it going, and he just, like, rolled with them. Uh-huh. But like I've seen him like Lance, he basically benches every game once he gives him his token minutes.
He's got the real Enes Kanter from last year treatment.
Yeah, and then like Burke has straight up gotten benched a couple of times now. So I think it says something that like he has not, like, Frank is second on the team in minutes. I think it says something that multiple times you can see him like giving Frank instructions to then pass on to the team during like free throws and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's telling that he uses him in a variety of ways defensively. Like against Milwaukee, it was pretty obvious that Frank had this dual responsibility of, yes, guarding his man, but he was also the person like designated to help Lance when Giannis was bringing the ball up the floor to like stop him from penetrating, because shockingly amazing ISO defender Lance can't do it by himself.
I like how you're shitting on Lance for his struggles with Giannis. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Find a new slant.
It was there, though. It was there, so I had to take it.
I don't blame you for using it. No.
But, like, yeah, like, I don't think anybody that actually questions his defensive aptitude and application and just effectiveness, like, should just give up basketball, at least watching defense or talking about defense, because it's just stupid. They're just so flat out wrong. There's nothing else to say about it.
Yeah.
But, like, offensively, there's a lot of work to be done. And I don't care about his shooting percentages. I don't care that he takes mid-range pull-ups a lot. I care that there are, like, these... You forget the periods when Burke is on the floor, because that's understandable why, like, he kind of, you know, gets hidden or gets frozen out or whatever. But, like, watching some of these stretches where he's on the floor with, like, fucking Baker and Hezonja and Trier, and he does the swing pass and then like goes to the corner and then just lets the possession transpire without really like, you know, putting his stamp on it.
Right.
Like, that is just beyond frustrating to me, especially like, okay, it happens 1-2 possessions. Like, that's part of him learning. Right. But it's like another team makes a 6-0 run. And part of it is because Hezonja, like yesterday in the Heat game, like Hezonja was just, he was just on one at the end of that game. He was like, anytime he was touching the ball, he was calling for the pick, and he was going to launch, no matter where he was.
But do you think that means, like that's, you're not wrong, and it is frustrating, but I think when people might start accusing you of being history's greatest monster, it's because you have this tone of, and therefore, I don't, it's not, you're fine. Your concern is fine, but I guess, I want to assert that.
I'm not saying that.
It's still on the right timeline. Like, I would like to have seen more, I'd like to have seen him be fucking Rookie of the Year or whatever, but given who he is, I feel like this is all par for the course, like, right now in this season, in this stage of his development. Does that make sense?
No, it's par for the course, but like, okay, it's par for the course. But because it's par for the course, I'm not supposed to comment on it. Like, no, like, those are the criticisms of his game. Like, that's what we have to talk. Like, I can't sit there and fucking, like, I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, well, Hezonja's hijacking the offense, and what is he supposed to do? He's running the play because Fizdale's calling the play. Like, come on, man. Like, I understand to some extent that shit happens, but, like, there's a reason why. Say whatever you want about Trey Burke's problems, and I'm not saying Frank shouldn't become a 6'6" Trey Burke, like his play style. But like, there's a reason why when Trey Burke is in the game, you are never going to worry about, is Trey Burke going to be involved on XYZ possession? When Trier is in the game with Frank, he gets shots, he gets touches, right? Like, he should not, he went an entire half against the Bucks, during which time, like, there were 10 minutes for sure he ran point. He didn't attempt a shot. There were, yesterday against Miami, he, again, did not attempt a shot. He attempted one shot in the second half until, like, garbage time, when I think, I don't know if Fizdale did or not, or, like, if he just realized, like, all right, I just got to, like, try and do stuff now because, you know, like, I should just try and do stuff. But it's like, you cannot go these fucking 15-minute periods of time, of, like, game time. I'm not talking about, like, real lifetime. I'm talking about game time. You can have these, like, 10, 15-minute periods as a guard, like
so I don't
be a
think
ball handler and just not try to create stuff sometimes, like,
right, or just bark at people to get you the ball, like, yeah, stop, like, taking it yourself.
Like, there are possessions where when he's the point guard on the floor, I'll give you a perfect example, right? He'll be the point guard on the floor, and like, that's fine, he calls out whatever play, he calls out, throws a swing pass, they do whatever action, Frank ends up in the corner, and like, somebody's at the top of the key, let's say, like, sometimes it ends up being a big, right, because they run that, like, they run that dribble handoff,
right,
towards the top of the key where the big has to make the decision. Like, sometimes it doesn't come off, and the big is just stuck there with the ball, right? He's just stuck there with the ball. And then, like, Frank is in the corner, and he's just, like, watching and waiting. And I'm like, dude, you're the fucking point guard.
So do you think, like, he's scared? Do you think he
I don't think he's scared. I think he just doesn't – like, he does not – I think his entire mindset is, like, playing within the team concept. And, like, it's like, that's why I think he tries to run a play every single time he comes down the floor when he is running the show, right? Like, very rarely, almost never do you see him come down the floor and just call for a pick and, like, go, right? Like, if he runs a pick and roll, it's usually when the ball comes back to him after the first action fails, and then he runs a pick and roll, right?
So,
like,
yeah.
But you will, like, almost will never see him come down the floor and just tell whoever the big is, doesn't matter who the big is, set me a pick and, like, let's just do this.
Pick setter, set me a pick. That's a Fiddler on the Roof reference from my Broadway heads.
That's actually a classic jam.
Right? It's a banger. That fucking slaps. I just want to say, I understand what you're saying deeply, Ashwin, because my creative player in NBA 2K is a point guard. And, you know, I don't want to stir the waters. Like, I'm new. I'm just making my way in the league. I was in China for a little bit. So I'll, like, start off a game. I'm passing. I'm giving it to Courtney Lee. And he's throwing up some whack, like, fucking long mid-range shot. And then I realize, not only am I doing, you know, the Knicks a disservice. Not only am I doing me a disservice, but I'm doing the Knicks a disservice by dishing it off to Courtney Lee over and over again. I need to take control of it. Run some pick and roll with KP. Running pick and roll with KP, by the way, very fun in 2K. I threw my first alley-oop this afternoon. Mm. Ooh! Ooh!
Let's do it! Marcita!
Let's do it big. We do it big here. All right, let's wrap up this segment on Frank. Any closing thoughts? So look, like, you've got legitimate beefs. It sounds like you might be starting to solidify a feeling that you don't think he's going to put it together. But let me know if I'm wrong there.
No, I'm not there at all. Like, I think that's why he needs a run of games. Like,
let me stop you. That was a question I wanted to say before I started my stupid 2K rant. Do you think that, you know, obviously this is just part of who he is right now as a basketball player, but do you think this him starting as not a point guard, obviously there's a lot of good to giving him positional flexibility and giving him reps in different situations, but do you think that could be making him more tentative? The fact that he is being told either explicitly or not, but just like through where he's being asked to play, maybe you don't have it all the way here yet, and that's making him more tentative?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's even the case, but what I think is happening is that...
It wouldn't be the main reason, but maybe contributing, but sorry.
Yeah, like, I think more than... It's hard, right? Like, I understand it. Like, he's 20, and I know the entire NBA is about positional flexibility and stuff now, but, like, you know, you still have roles. Like, there are still roles to be filled within different positions. And
there's skills that people need to be able to do on your basketball team.
And so one thing I've also complained about with Frank is that when he plays off the ball, I think he needs to be more active.
Yeah.
But to me, so has to learn how to be more active off the ball. And, like, he has actually made a couple of good cuts the last few games. So maybe he is kind of figuring out, like, the angles and stuff that he needs to take. And I swear at the end of last season, too, like, he was doing that way more. So I think maybe he just has to get back in the groove of things. He might be that kind of guy that, like, once he knows the system, like, executes it better or something like that. But then you're also like, okay, but when Burke sits, now you're the point guard and, like, you have to be the point guard. But, like, also Ron Baker's kind of a guard too. So, like, share the ball handling duties with him. And I think he might just have a lot going on in his head and just needs, like, I want Fizdale to just be like, look, Burke is not in the lineup. You're playing with Dotson and Timmy. Like, he's gonna know then. You know what I mean? Like, there's no question of, like,
I think you're right.
Who is the point guard? You're the point guard, right? You're the point guard, and, like, so he's probably still gonna have these stretches that are gonna drive me nuts. But the hope is that you give him a stretch of games and you start seeing, like, him understanding. Okay, these stretches become shorter or they become lesser in frequency. Right? That's the hope. And that's what you want to see. And, like, I'm not at a point where I think that my entire – I'm not, like, down on him, really. I just think that, like, I think it's – you know, the first year is a little, like, you want to be protective of your guy and, like, not criticize him and stuff. And, like,
and he was also jerked around by Horny.
Yeah, and I think Fizdale's been way different with him. Like, even if Fizdale is jerking around his role, he's not, like, you know –
he's, well, it says he's it all. The minutes say it all. You know, the minutes say it all. Like, like you said, Timmy's averaging just under 32. Frank's at just under 30. Dotson, even though he's only played three games, is actually at just under 30. So that's interesting. Those are the top three guys.
Yeah. So, like, real quick, I guess, the way to sum it up on Frank is, like, I'm not down on him. I have issues and concerns with, like, his current level of play. I think that he needs to be the point guard and just be told it's a point guard, get a run of games, a point guard, and then we will have a better idea of, like, whether or not he is a point guard.
Yeah, I'm with you. Give him that role. Maybe the occasional other look is him being off ball versus right now it seems sort of
even. You can mix it in during the game. Like, no one's saying that's, you know, like that. It's easier to adjust in that way, I think, than to be like start off the ball or like be told that you're a co-ball handler or whatever.
Yeah.
And then be like, yeah, but now you're the point guard. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's gotta fuck with your mentality a little bit. Like, even Knox, you know, he was demoted, so to speak, because he wasn't showing out, you know, at the end of preseason. But it was like, it was expressed to him, like you're our three of the future. And it hasn't been equally expressed to Frank. Obviously, they're letting him know that he's a big part of their plans, but it is more murky, like, what they expect out of him. Some of that, I think, is fair and makes sense on their part. I think they might have gone a little bit too far in the other direction in terms of trying to, like, bring out this flexibility when he does need to really work on those point guard skills. Because in order for him to maximize who he's going to be as a player in this league, obviously that route is being someone who is a functional starting point guard, even if he's not, you know, at some Hall of Fame, multiple all-star level. Like, he's going to be maximized if he can hold down that position.
And even, like, if he doesn't, like, getting those reps is going to, it's going to advance his ball handling and advance
his
passing.
Very true, very true. And, like, and this is the season to do it, right? Like, this is the season to do it.
And then also with Knox, like I think Knox, like, this idea that every, like, I understand where Fizdale is going with it. Like, everybody's, whoever gets the ball, like, goes and, like, they get to be point or whatever. Like, I get what he's trying to do. But you could see with Knox, like, when he was doing that in preseason, he was really forcing it and, like, attacking the rim in these dumb situations. And, like, he would run these pick and rolls and then just, like, kind of fumble it out of bounds off his foot or something or whatever. And, like, yeah, and I think actually that game before he got injured, unfortunately, like, coming off the bench, I don't know what Fizdale exactly told him, but, like, I think it helped him to just be, like, you're out of the limelight. You're kind of, like, you know, it's just different coming off the bench. There's a little bit less pressure on you to show out every 5 seconds.
Yeah, and he was, you know, good on the guarding crowd, but, like, he was getting huge cheers when he was introduced and, you know.
Yeah, it's a little much, right?
It's intense. Like,
not everybody's, like, KP.
I mean, honestly, you know.
No, I mean that.
Seriously. Like, I think, obviously, Chris
Depp's player I hate. The other player, right?
Well, no, but, like, Chris Depp's is clearly, whether or not he, like, actualizes it fully, he's a potential Hall of Fame talent. Like, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say, right? Like,
no, just tell everybody how you feel, how you think he's legitimately, like, Will Chamberlain.
He's already top five in the NBA. No, but he showed so much so early. Like, that's a different thing. Like, not everyone's going to be that, you know.
I mean, he's shown peaks that are, like, legit MVP caliber.
Yes. Like that's on the table for him, even if it's not, like, the most, you know, it's
basically
bankable
a
outcome.
It's like a 99%.
But we do. I mean, in my heart, I truly believe that. But, you know, we can move on. Let's wrap up this Frank thing. I want to talk about...
Would you rather bet that KP is a Hall of Famer or that Knox makes multiple All-Star teams? Hmm. Not like that he's a perennial All-Star, but just makes, like, two All-Star teams. If you had to bet your life savings on those two,
I'd bet that Knox makes two All-Star teams.
Okay.
And the only reason is because of the injury stuff.
It's because you don't believe in KP.
Nope.
That's what it is.
Nope.
You don't believe in him. You're
the
a hater.
The only reason.
That's how it works. That's how it works. You're a hater now.
The hater Homer dichotomy is my favorite. There's, like, no way to win for so many of these Sals from Staten Island. Once again,
Homer,
no offense if you're Sal from Staten Island. I love you. And you're 49% of my blood. Huh?
The Homer take is way worse because it's like, oh, you're just saying that you're a Homer. It's like, what, I can't have any positive opinions? Like, I think Dotson had a good game. Yeah, all right, Homer.
Alex, friend of the Sods, Alex Wolfenstein 3D, posted from
enemy.
The... Posted for enemy of Schwinn and his, you know, bloodlust for the record books of Locked On Knicks history. But he posted from the Posting and Toasting account this fucking Simpsons photo And he was like, it was like Frank putting the clamps on Curry. And it was, you know, like a bunch of cops on The Simpsons locking up Krusty the Clown. And people legit, not a ton, but enough, got angry at him. Like, delusional Knicks fans! Like, yeah.
Knicks fans are so delusional.
You see people freak out on Twitter against some idiot troll, and you're like, what's the matter with you? This guy's clearly a moron. Why are you even responding? When you run a Twitter account, like I do, that has a lot of followers, you get these maniacs coming at you for your takes every way. If it's too positive, they're furious. If it's too negative, you're furious. If you're clearly joking, they're like, oh, yeah, right. Like, we'll be lucky to hold him below 80, which is also wrong. You're a moron. Like, he's not going to score 80. He might. Watch him score 80 in this clip.
Because they're weird where it's like, he could have broken his own record yesterday, and they were just like, nah, we're up like 20s. Fuck it. No, totally.
But anyway, we'll get back to shitting on the common man in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So yeah, we're going to talk about Fizdale in just one second. But before we do that, I got to talk to you guys about something that's very important to me, and that's attending live events. Sometimes, you know, I feel like I have no connection to humanity. I just sit in this apartment all day, watching the Knicks, reading about the Knicks. But then I go out and I see maybe the OCs at Warsaw in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Or I see, I don't know, Ghostface at B.B. King's, which isn't open anymore. You know, but I've seen Ghostface there before. Or I see, I don't know, Whitney at Rough Trade. Whitney's a great band. If you haven't seen them, go see them. Their drummer sings. Their guitarist plays like an angel. They're great songwriters. The point being, attending live events makes me feel like a human. And you know it does for you, too. You're connected to other people who enjoy things. And if you want to go see live events, you got to get tickets. That's where Vivid Seats comes in. It's an app. Apps make everything easier. You go to Vivid Seats, you get that app, you use our code LOCKEDON, and you get $20 off your first purchase of $200 or more. The tickets are fully guaranteed. You can get them for sports, music, theater. If there's some Samuel Beckett plays being put on Broadway, I don't think there are at the moment. There might, who knows? I don't really follow Broadway closely. You might like that. Go to Vivid Seats and you can get those tickets. Once again, use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. And if it's your first order, you'll get $20 off orders of $200 or more. Vivid Seats. All right, let's talk about David Fizdale. New coach, new year. We're learning about him. What do you think about him so far? Is anything surprising to you? Are you happy, sad? What are your general thoughts on Fizdale? Any thoughts? Give me a thought. Thoughts?
I'm fine. I'm actually pretty happy with what I've seen. Like, I know it's a very small sample, but I think that he's made some good adjustments in games that have helped us get back. Like, I think the Milwaukee game, he made some significant adjustments at halftime that helped us get back in the game. I think against Boston, he made adjustments very soon in the game.
What do you do? Tell me your favorite adjust.
Against like Milwaukee in the second half, they just ran a lot more straight pick and roll with Ennis, and it's like, that sounds dumb because they do that all the time, but like a lot of times in the beginning of games when they run the pick and roll, Ennis will like kind of roll, but then he just kind of settles into the post up and like that's the possession. Whereas in the second half, I don't know if it was an instruction or there was a one, like Burke just straight up yelled at him at one point because he tried to do it in the second half, and Burke was like, no, get your ass back here, set the screen again. And we're running that. Yeah, like, that again.
Not to bring up 2K again, but he does that in 2K. I've been playing a lot lately. I'm like, roll, you asshole!
So, anyway. I thought that was, like, a really good adjustment. But, like, the thing I really like about him is he's not a coach. Like, if some guy is playing well in the game, he's not one of these coaches that's like, oh, but he's, like, the 12th guy, so, like, I gotta go back to him. Like, he's like, no, okay. Like, Trier played well against Boston. I think he closed that game. And, you know, stuff like that is, like, it's...
Or Dotson, who previously hadn't necessarily been playing a lot, put him in. He looked like he was playing well. He kept him in.
Yeah, he kept him in. And I like stuff like that. I think that says a lot about who he – that was basically our biggest beef with Hornacek, right?
Isn't it amazing that this is a thing that we have to praise, as if it's not just, like, the most obvious thing in the world?
But, like, there's so many coaches that are so scared of experimenting, even on bad teams. And it's like, dude, your team sucks. Like, there's probably not a big difference between your eighth guy and your 13th guy. Like, it's probably not that big of a difference, other than maybe your salary cap sheet. But, like, you know, it's not that big a deal. And I respect that, and I think that's, like, a valuable thing about the coach. And I just – I don't know. I generally like what he's saying. I do want to see – I am very – I'm not happy with where the offense is, but he has been – he was very transparent in saying that his entire focus in training camp was conditioning and defense. And, like, yeah, the Heat lit us up yesterday. I haven't looked at what our defensive rating was.
It's still, like, about, like, right in the middle of the league. I mean, yeah. So – which is way more than you could hope for with these guys right now. Like,
yeah, and it's five games in the season.
It's also five games, so it means kind of nothing. But it's not nothing that they're not all at the bottom. They could easily be. They've played some good teams.
Sure, you 100% could when you're starting. I mean, when you're starting Burke and Ennis at 1-5, like,
come on.
You 100% could be.
Yeah.
But we're not, and like, we've adjusted in games to, like, to the fact that our defense is failing, and I think that is a good sign. So I like that about Fizdale. I do like his temperament. I just want to see the offense, like. It needs to flow better. It needs to have more structure. I still think that guys are confused as to what they're doing at times.
Yeah, I think that'll come. I mean, what I do like is they are trying a lot of just different actions involving running guys off screens, whether it's a dribble handoff or whether it's a pick and roll or whether it's these pin down screens. There's just a lot of rub screens, whatever they're doing. Like, they're not just, I don't know. There's not, it's noticeable when they're, like, trying to establish Cantor in the post for 10 straight seconds, because otherwise they're not really doing that. They're like, pretty sloppy, and they don't seem to be very coordinated, but they're at least utilizing this very basic tenet of basketball that you should run your man into other dudes to free yourself, which has somehow eluded the Knicks for, like, 10 years, right? I mean...
Yeah, and I think if you put KP into some of the stuff that they're doing, you'll see, like, a bigger,
the threat of fading out to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just like a basic thing yesterday was, like, they, like, Frank ran a pick and roll and with Vonleh, and then he threw, like, a really nice one arm. Like, he has this one pass that I, like, actually haven't seen a lot of guys throw, because you got to have a wingspan to do it, but it's like he's dribbling to his right and then he swings it, like, over his head, like, over his, like, opposite shoulder to the pop man, but, like, it was Vonleh. So, but, like, I'm always trying, I'm like, all right, just imagine these actions, but with, like, KP. And, like, you can see how some of these actions would look so much better with Porzingis either screening or being the shooter. And, like, it just gives you so much more optionality, right, that we don't have right now, where it's like, you can't use Cantor running off screens.
I mean, like, but it's funny because, I mean, KP is also a much better role man.
Right.
He can pop out for that shot. He can yam it on someone, go up, you know.
Like, even if he's not as good a role man, the fact that he can do both gives you more variety. And it makes the defense, like, they have to be ready for both, and that sometimes means that you're not ready for either.
I think Ennis has secret butterfingers. I don't know. He's bobbled some things, and I'm like, can you hold on to that? Do you disagree?
I don't know. I've hated on Lance so much, and I just,
all right, let's move on from Ennis.
Let's not hate on anybody anymore.
So, okay, fair enough. Something I like about Fizdale, a continuation of just sort of like his charm offensive. I do think that he has a good handle on finessing these guys, and even though none of them are these big money guys that you have to worry about, you do still have to massage their egos. And we're talking about switching up starting lineups. It's starting to kind of, the call for that to happen is sort of becoming louder. It's everywhere. It's in mainstream beat guys reports are like, should he consider changing the starting lineup? And they've asked him about it. And this is what he said. There's some quotes. He said, I'm still getting to know some of these guys. Like I just told them, I feel like now we just got out of training camp. The first five games, I still didn't know every guy's strengths and weaknesses, who can play next to who. So I feel like after five games, we learned a lot about our team, and hopefully we can make some adjustments to help them out and make them feel more comfortable. And then he's talking further about, you know, what lineup changes he might make. As of the recording of this pod, he hasn't made any. He may have made some by the time you hear this. But he continued, we looked at some different stuff today, though. He was talking about sort of like lineup numbers and that kind of thing. Our guys, they understand I'm tinkering. just letting them know it's no indictments on anybody, that don't really change. We're just trying to find combinations. Again, my job is to put each guy in a position to be successful. So wherever that is, I'm going to do it. So I like their, like, there's, this is, like, this is bullshit, but it's also real, which is the best kind of bullshit. He's framing it like, look, it's about the fit. It's not about the fact that you suck, Lance Thomas, even though that's obviously, you know, part of the evaluation. For Lance, that doesn't really matter because he knows he's not any good. But someone younger like Burke, who's trying to resuscitate his career, if he can buy into this sort of presentation of what's going on, oh, it's about, I'm figuring out who works together. It's not that you're bad or whatever. You know, and this isn't like the most genius emotional gambit that's ever been played, but I do think it's believable enough, and I like the fact that he's putting it out in the media. So I think it's just like another subtle thing that kind of like softens the blow a little bit. I think it's good at managing these guys' expectations and their egos. And if you get pulled out of the starting lineup, it's going to hurt no matter what. But if he's coming out and sort of being like, no, it's not because you suck, like, I do think that means something to them. Is it everything? No. But those small sorts of things, again, in contrast to someone like a Horny who was just like, I'm this old school dude. Fuck you if you don't like it. Tough love. I'm your distant father. I'll never tell you I love you. Like, that kind of shit doesn't work. It doesn't work with these people.
No, but, like, you know what it is? The difference is I'm almost positive he's going to change the starting lineup. Like, I think the starting lineup will be different.
Oh, he's going to. He's saying it. By the time this airs, it will have been changed. I'm 100% sure.
So, like, I'm pretty confident he's going to do that. The difference was, like, Hornacek would be like, yeah, you got to earn your minutes. And then he would literally – he literally never changed the fucking starting lineup. The only change he made was was inserting Jared Jack, basically. Like, that was it. Other than that, when guys – like, when Ennis was healthy, when Lee was healthy, when Tim was healthy, when Lance was healthy, like, after KP's injury, and when Jack was healthy, they were his starters no matter what. It did not matter – about their performance, it did not matter about anything, and a lot of those, and like his closing lineups often would just be the same too. He just did not, like, you just see the difference where, like, I'll look at the minutes at the end of a game now and I'll be like, oh, that actually, this guy didn't play as much as I thought, but he got one big solid run, right? Whereas, like, with Hornacek, I would look at the box score and I'm like, oh, this guy played a little bit more, but, like, I guess it was like those minutes were just like real disjointed and all over the place or something like that. And so, like, I don't know. I cannot describe it. I feel like when you're watching the Knicks play this year, the decisions he's making with lineups and stuff, even if I disagree with them, I am like, okay, I get it. Whereas, like, last year with Hornacek, you're like, dude, why is Dotson not playing? Like, why did Frank just, like, why are you just letting Jared Jack? I'll never forget this, that one game where he just let Jared Jack get, like, he just let Terry Rozier get a triple-double against Jared Jack. I'll never forget that game. He just, like, it was because it was like the first half, you know, Frank played well, and then the second half, like, you know, it was you know how the rotation was last year. Right? It was like Jared Jack would play like the first 7-8 minutes, Frank would come in, whatever it was, and then Jack would close out the half. But it was like obvious in the first half that Frank was actually having an effect on Rozier, and like Jack was just getting slaughtered, and. So, like, you would think in the second half you would adjust, but it was like there was no adjustment. It was like, no, we're just going to do the same thing again and just let Jack get fucking – like, it was like Jack was some sacrificial lamb to just be out there for the greatness of Terry Rozier's market value and for Ainge to get, like, another 16 first-round picks for some dumbass team. And, like, it's just – you know, shit like that was more frustrating than anything with Hornacek, and I don't sense that with Fizdale as much. But, like, yeah, I mean, Fizdale's fine. We'll see what he really is about as the season goes on. But, like, early returns are – they're fine. I'm not praising him. I'm not going to, like, say he's been amazing, but he's not been bad.
He's at least – yeah. He's you can say this for them. He's been an active participant in games.
Yeah, 100%.
Trying to make adjustments.
Right, he's not just like, this is my rotation, and, like, you guys got to figure it out.
Back in my day, we shot 3 from 8 from mid-range, and that was good enough.
No, it was 7 of 10. Yeah, back then, you guys shot 7 of 10 from mid-range. Like, no, dude, Michael Jordan didn't even shoot 7 of 10 from mid-range.
Oh, my God. I want to close out this episode by quickly talking about the Jimmy Butler trade saga. It's been a favorite of ours outside of Knicks land on the Locked On Knicks podcast. I hope this isn't woefully out of date by the time you get this, because it's being recorded a day early. If it will, hopefully it's out of date in a funny way. But today, There was a Woj bomb that the Houston Rockets are making a renewed bid to acquire Minnesota All-Star Jimmy Butler. And that bid includes four future first-round draft picks. This is, again, according to Woj. Is four first-round draft picks too much?
Yeah, it's probably too much, but, like, also there's probably protections on some of these. And then the other thing is, like, I don't even give a shit because, like, if you're going to go all in, you go all in with a team that has Harden and Chris Paul and Capella. Like, that's when you go all in. You don't go all in when you have a team of, like, Deron Williams and Joe Johnson, right? Like, that. Everybody keeps using that Brooklyn trade to justify, like, like, nobody should ever give first-round picks. And it's like, no, like, that was the most extreme example of just a dumb plan that went worse than anybody even expected. And, like, you can't use that to not trade picks ever. And, like, four is excessive, and I don't know if I really believe that, like, I feel like it's going to be, like, a fake two. You know what I mean? Like, two of those firsts will be fake firsts. Like, they'll be, like, heavily protected and most likely second rounders. And then and the other two might be real. So it's like, I don't know. I
saw something that was interesting. They were like, they could, so if it's four picks, they have to be every other year. And
but they can't have, like,
they can't be more than 7 years in the future. So it literally has to be
the next four, like, it's like 19, 21, 23, 25.
Right. And because of the way that's set up, they can't convey forward. So if there are protections, they have to be like, if this pick is a lottery pick, you just don't get it. Because if
it turns into like these year's seconds.
Right. Yeah. So there might not actually be great protections. The first two would come during a time where you hope, like, Harden's not that old. I think Chris Paul could fall apart at any second. He seems to get injured every year. That definitely adds to, you know, the danger of this. But,
and Butler gets hurt.
And, you know, and Butler has a little bit of an injury history. He's got those Thibodeau miles on him. I think that's a little overplayed, but it's not nothing. It's definitely not nothing.
But so, I respect that, like, Morey's just like, I'm going for it. Like, there are so many GMs that are so scared to, like, not go for it when they have a team that is actually worth going.
I mean,
like,
a title, I agree, because a title is something that might only come around once in a lifetime, honestly, for any
franchise.
If you
win a title, does anybody give a shit about how many picks he gave up?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. And that it's, like, a better analog might be, like, when the Celtics traded for Kevin Garnett. You know, I think they gave up two firsts in that.
Like, they gave up two firsts. They gave up Al Jefferson, who at that time was, like, a really nice.
Who was a great post player before we all knew that that was useless going
forward.
Yeah,
and then even, like, Gerald Green still was, like, I think he was, like, in his first or second year. Or he was, like, had just finished his first or second year. Right. So he was still seen as, like, this, you know, like, he's probably equivalent value, or at least in the same mold as somebody of, like, Zach LaVine, when Zach LaVine got traded, right?
Fair. Yeah, I think that's right. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but when you think about it, if they do stay healthy, I mean, your 1-2-3 is Chris Paul, Harden, and Jimmy Butler. That's
no,
ridiculous.
No, Melo's the three. Right?
Yo, that Melo clip of him being, I got this shit, fuck out of here, and then he throws the rebound out of bounds by accident because he's trying to, like, pound it.
Did you have to change your pants after that?
Oh, my, twice. Like, I thought I was finished, and it turned out.
It's probably the good place to end it right there.
Yeah, I think we're good, actually. That's about 30 minutes. That's right in the sweet spot for us at Locked On Knicks. I want to thank Schwinn, our esteemed guest, for joining us once again. Ashwin, why don't you let people know where they can find you online? And you don't get to plug anything this time. Just let us know where you can find us online.
Okay, yeah, you can find me at Schwinnypoo on Twitter.
All right, that's it. Thank you. All right, that's it. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Knicks. If you've got a moment, rate us on iTunes. 5 stars only, please. Don't be a jerk about it. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Every time I say don't be a jerk about it, I get like a 1-star review. Screw you if you're doing that. I would say it's funny, but the people who leave those reviews are mean. One day I'll read them for you. You guys will like them. They're actually pretty funny. Anyway, tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks. Follow me on Twitter at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spit into your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Always salt the pasta water. Take that. For data, Biggie's better than Pac.